And so let's go to the book of Psalms here this morning. Psalm 121. I'm just going to start reading. There's only 8 verses. And Psalms listed here as a song of degrees, or a song of ascent, I guess we would say. Verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. The Lord, our keeper. I was listening to a preacher this week preaching, and he said, as an old farmer used to pray, Lord, keep me kept. I don't know if that's great English, but it sounds really good this morning. Lord, keep me kept. We have a keeper this morning. Amen. We have one that we can go to. And just a thought I want to leave with you this morning, and it really stemmed from a conversation Shell and I were having the other day as we were walking, and just thinking about where we go. That I guess the question we were discussing is whether or not, are we leaning on the Lord? You know, are we really trusting God? Are we turning to Him when trouble comes? And so during our discussion, we said, now, let's just think about it. When trouble has come into our life, when we've faced hardship, when we've had sickness or had a need, whether it be financial or physical, whatever it might be, where have we gone? Of course, our answer was quick and sudden. We've gone to the Lord. Amen. We've turned to the Lord. Why? Because He is our help. Amen? That He is our refuge. And so I wanted to ask you the question this morning, because it's not hard for you to think about down through your life and think about the times when hardship has come your way, because I know it has. If you've lived any length of days at all, you've had troubles. And you might be in the midst of one right now. If not, just wait a little while. There'll be one come your way, either through your own life or through the life of someone that you hold dear, someone that you love, getting caught up, as we've said, in the backwash of someone else's problems. And that does happen, and we're not immune to that, right? Because that's what happens when you love, amen? When you love other people, so often their hardship becomes your hardship. And you're grieved when you look back and see someone else that's dear to you making wrong decisions, and you know that the way they're going is the wrong way, and so that grieves us. That's just part of loving, amen. And so we know that's going to happen in our life, because we're gonna have some problems in our life, and we're gonna be close to people that do as well. Where do we go in those times? Where do we turn to? I mean, what is our place of refuge? Now, I'm going to just go ahead and preface this morning, because I don't want you to take this the wrong way and plant it and bear bad seed. I want it to bring forth good seed. I know that there's places that we turn. There's places that we go when we're sick. You know, we go to the doctor, or we, you know, when we got a problem with our car, we go to the mechanic. And so I just want to preface that. I'm not saying that all those other things aren't options or can't be included in this. Because we're smart enough to know this morning that, you know, if we do have a physical need and we go to the doctor, that even that knowledge that the doctor has is from God. Amen. That whatever, you know, we give God the glory for every good gift. Amen. Everything. And so I just wanted to settle that here, because I don't want you to go away from here saying, well, Keith said, don't go to the mechanic, don't go to the doctor, don't do this. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this. Our first priority is that we examine ourselves to make sure that ultimately we're trusting in the Lord, that He is our help, that He is our refuge. I already said this morning, this psalm, it's a quick psalm. It's only 8 verses. We've already read it. And it is called a song of degrees, if your Bible references that or titles that. And it is The second of 15, Psalm 120, also listed that way. And if you go for the next 15 psalms in this book, you'll find them titled A Song of Degree or A Song of Ascent. And there's several, a couple ideas really on that. One being that they were songs that were sung by Israel as they were traveling to Jerusalem on a feast day. You know, they had several feasts throughout the course of a year, and some that would come even beyond that. But they would use these times of pilgrimage, I guess you could call it, to travel toward Israel or travel toward Jerusalem from wherever they were at. They would join together for these great feasts. And you know, the Palestinian land being a low land, I've never been there, but just what things I've read about it, that it, there was always an ascent up to Jerusalem, or you would say up to Mount Zion. You know, they were going to the city of God. They were going to the place where their temple was. They were going to the place of sacrifice. They were going to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen. A burnt offering unto God. I was reading one this week of a young boy sitting at the dinner table, and his mom asked him, said, "Will you give the grace? Will you say the blessing upon the food?" And he said, "Lord, we thank you for this food, and for that we offer you this burnt sacrifice unto God." And I was like, okay, well, that's not the type of burnt sacrifices they were offering unto Jerusalem, but they would go up and they would ascend. And it's very possible that during that time of ascension, they would sing these psalms one to another. They would come together in a time of fellowship and sing these different psalms. So this being the second psalm of these 15, and referencing the city of God. And if you would read down through these 15, you would find those things talking about the safety and all that upon their journey, this pilgrimage that they were going to. It's really described over in Psalm 42. Hold your place there in 121, and we'll come back to that. Psalm 42 there, it says, verse 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is our God? Remember, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." And so that's really how that's described there, how that he had kept the time of worship, the time of praise, when he went with the multitude, he went up to the house of God. And so these times of ascensions or these times of going up, and they're starting out this journey. As we look at Psalm 121, and it says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." Now, immediately we were confronted with this, and I've read this out through the times, and many times in my life I've read this particular verse, and I've always wondered, is this a question or is this an affirmation? Is the psalmist asking, where does my help come from? Or is he saying, my help cometh from the hills? And so is it an affirmation that his help is coming from the hills, or is it a question? Now, every other place that this phrase is used, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help," from whence would be a question. Every other place in Scripture it's used as a question there. And so, you know, other than debating the point this morning, we can look at it from both sides, if you will. I would tend to think it is a question. That as he starts off this pilgrimage, as he's starting off onto this work, this walk with all the multitudes, and he looks of the journey, he says, where's my help going to come from? Where is my refuge? I will look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Now, if we think about a hill, it is used in many different ways in Scripture. It is used as a place of refuge when you think about a mountain. Obviously, you know, when you're building a city, they would it seems like, you know, you would look for a high place, you know, so that you could be able to be aware of all the things around you. But there's also, when you think about the hills, it was referencing a place of protection or a hiding place. Psalm 125 says this, As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forevermore. And so the psalmist that was standing out there one day and looking around and seeing the mountains and recognizing that being a mode of protection for them. And he says, as these mountains are, so henceforth is the Lord toward Jerusalem. Amen. Or toward his people. And we this morning could be included in that number. Aren't you glad for that today? Amen. And so as the mountains kind of were symbolic of protection, as he's starting off on this, I will look into the hill, mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help, or where is my help coming from? And so those mountains symbolizing protection. I can remember growing up, you know, it took me a while to get used to down here. I would consider this, you know, I'm used to looking out the window and always seeing mountains. Where I grew up, there was mountains everywhere. You'd look behind you, there were mountains. You'd look in front of you or your house, there were mountains. And so I grew up in the valley. And so, you know, there were mountains around everywhere. And I can remember thinking, I don't know if it was my mom just trying to ease my mind or if it was true that, you know, those mountains served as a form of protection from certain weather patterns or different things. It's kind of odd to think about. If you've ever been, you know, 30,000 feet in the air and you're looking down through the airplane window and you're seeing, you know, these mountains that look so small from where you're at, that they would somehow impact weather patterns, but yet I guess they do. You know, you watch them, it seems like they follow rivers and different things. And so that kind of became symbolic to me as I looked around and saw those mountains of protection. Maybe we don't think about it so much in our day because we don't have a whole lot of invading armies going around, but some of the stories I've read during the Civil War up there in the Shenandoah Valley, that they would, those mountains were hard to cross. There was only a couple places you could cross them, one down around New Market and then one up around Massanutten. And so that really formed a place of protection for some of the armies. And so you can definitely understand that. And so when the psalmist begins to write about mountains, there were times and he referenced it and just said, this is our protection. This is our safe place. I'll look into the mountains. But then he says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about his people from henceforth, even forevermore. Amen. Isn't it good to know that God is our protector? Amen. That when trouble comes our way, we can know with assuredness that God is round about us. Amen. That his eyes are upon us, that he cares for us, and that we can come to him in times of trouble. Amen. Psalm 27:5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock or upon a high place, a place of safety. And so as the psalmist saying, you know, I will look into mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help, Lord, keep me kept. Keep me, Lord. Or keep me from stumbling. That phrase keep, or the word there, is used several times throughout this passage. Verse 3 says, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Look at verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper. Amen? He is our keeper. Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve, or he shall keep thy soul. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve or keep thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Lord, keep me kept. Amen. God, I look to you in times of trouble. I look to you when trials come. On this journey that we're traveling, God, our eyes are upon you. God, you keep us, Lord. You keep us, Lord, by your power. And so also throughout Scripture, you'll find places where the mountains are symbolic of trials. You know, a mountain can be symbolic of a test. Amen. Lord, we used to sing, Lord, don't move that mountain. Just give me strength to climb. God, give me the strength. I used to sing that song, and I'd be saying under my breath, Lord, move that mountain. Man, Lord, move it. Move it out of my way. But you know, sometimes we got to climb mountains, don't we? Man, and so, Lord, we pray for strength to climb. Lord, and whatever this trouble may be, whatever this mountain is that we're facing, God, along our journey, along our path, God, teach us how to trust you. Amen. Along this way. This Bible just declares that it's a narrow way, doesn't it? Amen. The way that we're traveling as believers, Jesus says there's a broad way and there's a narrow way. And they have two separate destinations, do they not? Man, the narrow way. The broad way, it just, you think about a broad way. I was listening to a man preaching this week about that broad way, and it, man, he just made some great points there. He said, you know, when you think about a broad way, it don't matter. Man, you just go. He said, you know, if you want to go to hell, you just go out and just live anyway, right? It doesn't matter. You just walk the broad way. Whatever, you know, keep hearing this phrase thrown up, you do you. It's a commercial, I think, or something. You do you. And every time I hear it, it just kind of makes me do that. You do you. Okay. Well, you can do you if you want to do you, but doing you doesn't lead to life eternal. Amen? There's a narrow way we've got to walk. Amen? There's a way that requires a dedication. There's a way that requires a commitment. There's a broad way. It doesn't matter how you walk. You can just go and walk. You can find that with your eyes closed. Amen? But I'm glad to know this morning that we have a narrow way that leads, Jesus says, unto life. So the broad way, there's a lot of people walking it. So you can find a lot of people to go with you on this broad way. But the end thereof is death. But then Jesus said, the narrow way, there few there be that find it. But it's the way unto life. And I want to walk that way, don't you, this morning? That way hasn't changed. I know we've tried to broaden it. Maybe not we. I hate to put we in there. But it's still a narrow way. And it matters how we walk. It matters how we live. And so here we find that this mountain could be a trial, could be a place of refuge. It's used in both instances. But let's just go on from that. Because my health coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So let's look first this morning at the greatness of our help. Let's look at the greatness of our help. Where's that help coming from? Our help comes from the Lord. Well, who is this Lord? Here's his resume. He made heaven and earth. Amen? The creator of all things. Amen? The God that spoke the world into existence. He is the one that we can call on. A God who can. A God who can. That phrase is used. I found it. I did a quick word search on that. And maker of heaven and earth. And I was kind of taken back by how many of the early fathers of the of Israel particularly used that phrase. Abraham used it when talking to God, maker of heaven and earth. Moses used it, maker of heaven and earth. Hezekiah used it, maker of heaven and earth. David as well, Jeremiah. And even the Apostle Paul in the New Testament scripture, we find him using that same phrase, maker of heaven and earth. And so when we think about our troubles, when we think about our trials, our mountains that we might have to face, it's good to understand this morning that our refuge or the one that we turn to is the maker of heaven and earth. Look how David says it over in 1 Chronicles chapter number 29 there. This is When David had collected all the gold and all the things that was going to be used to build the house of God. You remember when he had a desire to build a house to the Lord? And he ended up not being able to build it, but he did start collecting provisions for it. And so this is when he had went to the people. He had given all the gold and silver and iron and different things. And then he opened up the door to other people to allow them to give as well. And so they had collected this mass of things that were going to be used for the building of the house of God, all types of precious stones and gold and silver and all manner of works. And And so he's singing this praise unto the Lord. Look at verse 10 there of 1 Chronicles 29. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Here it is. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory. Almost sounds like the prayer Jesus gave us over there in the New Testament scripture, doesn't it? Thine, O Lord, is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Lord, it's you. It's thine. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as the head above all. Now remember the setting here. David has collected all these things. He had been moved to do it. The people around them, not by compulsion, they wasn't doing it because David had forced them to do it, but because of a willing heart, they had opened up their hearts and they had provided or they had given things to God. And so here's David's words of praise to that. And he says, both riches and honor come of thee. So what is he saying? Lord, all that I'm giving back to you, it's yours. Let's read on. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Amen. Think about that this morning. When you come and you give an offering unto the Lord, when you come and you open up your pocketbook or however it might be and you're giving unto God and you think, Lord, here, I give this unto you. Well, let me tell you this morning, it's his. Amen. He gave it to us. And all we're doing is returning it back to him. I mean, we're just giving it back to him and saying, so, you know, it's we understand that what we have is given from God. Now, David worked hard. David worked hard to get all this collection. He opened up the door and he went and got his things and all that he had and gave and then had everyone else give. And so he's working and he's laboring and he's sweating and he's probably asking for this and asking for that. But in the end, he says, all I'm doing is just giving back what God has given to me. Amen. It's the same with us on our job, is it not? We can work and we can labor and we can say, Lord, I earned that. I deserve that. But in the end, God gave us the breath to live. In him we live and move and have our being. And so all we're doing is giving back to God. What am I? Who am I? For we are strangers before thee and sojourners. He says, all we are here are guests. We're just temporary dwellers. And let me tell you this morning, that fits every one of us here. Some of us have been dwelling longer than others. Some of us not so long. Some of us is the one back there on the back row just moved in. She's only been here, what, going on 9 months, right? Hope I got that right. She just moved in. Anybody here been here a while? You're a sojourner. You're just here for a little while, amen, and then you're going to go on. You're going to move on. He says, we're strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth, here it is, are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. We're just here for a little while, amen. It's worth asking the question, where are we headed, isn't it? Where are we going? Which road are we on? Are we walking that narrow way? Are we walking the broad way? Step back and ask yourself that question. Say, well, I'm walking the narrow way, bless God. Well, are you? Amen? Are we ordering our steps? Are we seeking after God? Are we, as we sang this morning, are we hungry for God?
Or are we just going through life, just going on about our business, going our own way, you doing you? Let's not do us. Let's do him this morning. Amen. Let's follow his lead. Let's follow his voice. David says, I'm just a guest. I'm just an alien. I'm just a pilgrim walking this way. My life is just a shadow. Everything that we have is from God. Everything comes from the Lord. I mean, back over to 121. Let's get back there this morning. It says, the greatness of our help is from the Lord. We look unto the Lord that made heaven and earth. God, it's you. And you're able to meet every need, God. Supply everything. Help us to face any hardship that comes our way. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. God, you are able. Lord, you're able. Paul says in Ephesians, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we have. He got really excited there, didn't he? He's using a lot. Well, I'm getting ready to show my ignorance in English. Are they adjectives? Adverbs. Exceedingly. See? Thank you. Abundantly. Above all that we ask or think. Our God is able. That's the greatness of our help this morning. Amen. That he is the living God, creator of heaven and earth. Now, look what he does here between second and third verses. He's shifting here. Up till now, he's gone first person. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Then he shifts here. He says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. So now he's moving to that second person. Either he's looking out at the people around and encouraging them, or he's beginning to the theologians call this an internal monologue. We call it talking to ourselves. May us talk to yourself? Be honest. Don't leave me out here. I didn't talk to myself so much until I started playing golf. I talk to myself a lot out there. Matter of fact, I yell at myself. Come on, Keith. This the other day, I was out there by myself over at the airport playing 9 holes of golf, walking. I hit a tee shot and I yelled it. Come on, Keith, what are you doing? And I looked around, I was like, is anybody listening? Somebody was over at the last hole. I was like, that was loud enough for them to hear that. I was having an internal monologue. And well, here, David, or the psalmist here, is having an internal monologue, and if indeed that's what he's doing, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. If you're going to talk to yourself, at least talk sense to yourself, right? Man. One place, what David say? Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in the Lord. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself, but at least talk sense to yourself. Amen. Who will help us in our journey? Who will help us when we're sick? Who are we going to turn to when we're under attack or facing a hardship? So first we find him here. I think it was Corrie Ten Boom that said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look at within, you'll be depressed. But if we look unto God, we'll be at rest. Amen. Let's not look around us. As well, we look around the world, we're going to be distressed. Stress is out. I know the answer is not within. But we can look at a hill. 2,000 years ago, to the one that paid the price for us. Amen. That we might be saved. And that we might have a place of refuge that we can run into. All right, so the greatness of our help. Let's look at the availability of our help this morning. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Our God is available. Amen. He's a present help in time of need. I always get tickled when I read that passage over there in Kings with Elijah. You remember when he challenged the prophets of Baal? And they all came there on Mount Carmel. There's another mountain. We were talking Wednesday night how a lot of great things in Scripture happened on a mountain. And there's another one right there, Mount Carmel, where God showed himself alive, showed himself the one true God. When Elijah calls all those prophets of Baal, and the Bible talks about how they begin to call out to their God, and there were none that answered, and they jumped up on the altar and began to call out and cut themselves and just calling out and no answer. And Elijah began to talk and say, hey, maybe he's on a journey somewhere. Maybe he's on a trip. Maybe he's busy helping someone else. Or maybe he's asleep. He could be asleep. Call out a little louder. And I was reading that this week, and I come across that last verse there, last part of that. And yeah, it is that Elijah said those words, but it's so sad the way that's all wrapped up. It says, as they called out to their God, there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. There was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Now, I'll just admit to you, there's been times when I felt that way, calling out to God. There's been times in my life when I've been going through something and I just felt like my prayer was not getting anywhere. And so when we start thinking about he that watches over Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep, and the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, the sun shall not smite thee by day nor the moon by night. So you're looking at these two extremes, you know, you're looking at day and night and everything in between, that God has got all of it in control. And so I read those verses of the Lord. You're not asleep. I know you're not asleep. Your word says you're not asleep. You're going to be the shade at my right hand. You said that a present help, you're going to preserve me from all evil. And I heard someone say this one time, and it's kind of stuck with me. Okay, we read those verses, and we're going to claim those promises and know that God hears us and know that, you know, there is one that regards, there is one that hears, and there is one that answers. But what we have to do is we've got to sort of step back from that, from these passages, and see it worked out in Scripture. Like, how would Job work this out? Man, Job would stand and say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job would say, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. How would this be worked out in Joseph's life, if we think about it? You know, would he stand up and say, oh, the Lord will not, well, he's my present help. He's a preserver. He'll keep me from all evil. And there's Joseph down in a pit, looking up out of the darkness that his brothers, own brothers, had just tossed him in. And then he comes out. He's like, oh, great, now we're getting somewhere. And what happens next? Well, he's put in as a prisoner to Potiphar's house. And then things go bad there. He finds himself in another prison. How does this work out in Joseph's life? Well, it works out when he stands before his brothers and he says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen. That the hand of God was working and preserving and keeping, and he was not asleep, and he was answering prayer, though it may have seemed at some point in Joseph's life where God was a long ways off, but yet we find where God's hand was still there. How's it worked out in the Apostle Paul's life? Man, would he claim these promises? God, you're hearing. And yet still we found him in many places cast out of cities and beaten. We find him in shipwrecks, often, he says, in trials, hardship, over and over again. How does Paul testify of this? Well, he'll say, at my first answer, no man stood with me but the Lord. Amen. The Lord stood with me. So we've got to step back from these verses and say, so God's not telling us that we won't have times of hardship. He's not telling us we might not find ourselves in a dark dungeon or in a shipwreck, but he's telling us through the words of these people that experience these things, I am a present help. I mean, that I'll be there. I mean, that we can stand on his promises and know that he is a keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Amen. So we've looked at the greatness of our help. We've looked at the availability of our help. And now we look at the preservation of our help. He's our keeper. The Lord preserves us. He will not cause our foot to stumble. Man, that when we are in the midst of a storm or in the midst of a battle, we can stand firm on our faith, and that our faith won't fail. Man, that God will keep us. Man, no matter what we have to face in this life, God is a keeper. He is heard one person say it this way, from the womb to the tomb. Amen. God is there. And he is our helper. He is our place of refuge. He is our place of strength. He will preserve us from evil. From all, well, 7 says, preserve thee from all evil. I pray that in the mornings before I leave the house for myself and for you as well. And Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, keep us from evil. God, keep my children from evil. Keep their children from evil. And that our God is a keeper. Lord, cause our children to walk the narrow way. Man, to walk the narrow way. The way that has restrictions. The way that we can't just be us. Because us is a mess sometimes. But Father, we want to be like you. Man, we want to walk even as Jesus walked. He preserves our existence. He preserves us every day, even through just the routines of life, on the highways. And ultimately, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth. So just life. Even forevermore. All right. So let's think about this morning. Let's look at our history. Look at the storms that we've had to face in our life, the things that you've gone through personally. And just think about the times that you've looked at Jesus. You've looked into the mountains and said, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Amen. He is our helper. He is our strength. And amen. I'm glad to know he's always there to strengthen, to get us through whatever it is. That's our refuge. Amen. He is our refuge. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your promise, God. Lord, you said you are a present help in trouble. We are thankful for that, and we stand on that. And as we've seen here this morning, that doesn't mean that storms or things that we won't come our way, because clearly it does. We would be in error to think otherwise or to even preach otherwise. But we can, like those before us that endured trials, stand and declare that you are faithful and that you have made a way of escape, or you've made a way out. God, most of all, you've made a way that we can stand firm and that our feet will not fail. Our foot will not slip. May we continue to look to you. God, I pray that our eyes are always on you, Lord, first and foremost, before anything else. God, that we come running to the Master and know that you hear us and know that you're there. He that watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And there is one that regardeth and there is one that hears. And it's only you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.